This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
For number two, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Tannenbaum going to join us here in just a couple of minutes. But if you were with us in the previous segment, like we always tell you, you never know what you're going to miss here. We got a caller who, Mel, who was talking about the Giants and their issues. And he believes that a way to fix these issues is to get rid of the GM, Dave Gettleman. Okay. And he believes the thing to do is to give Joe Judge the ability to also be GM and coach. Dual role. He thinks that's how you fix this. And we thought there's only one person that we need to hear react to that call. It's one of our favorite callers, one of our favorite people, and a Giants fan, as painful as it is for her these days. And that is Tessa. Tessa, on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, how are you, and what did you think of what Mel said?
I'm bashing my head against the wall right now. How you guys doing? Hope you had a great weekend, better than mine. Okay, let me start with this. Y'all need to do a better job screening your calls. I mean, because what is this guy talking about? Like, I know he freaking said that probably, or he might have lied. That is the craziest, dumbest hot pile of funky trash I've ever heard in my life. Has he been watching Dave Gettleman? Is he serious? Has he been watching Joe Judge? I'm sitting here contemplating my life decisions as a Giants fan. Like, why am I still doing this to myself? Because I need somebody to blame. And the only person I can blame is Joe Judge right now. Because how do you let Bill Belichick run the ball a whole game and you still can't stop him? That's great coaching. He's a horrible coach. Why would you give him all that power? He can't even make the right decision about a timeout. He can't even make the right decision about, let me be honest and just say we're trash right now. We got to do better. He keeps coming up with all these stupid philosophies that doesn't even make sense. But you want to give him the power of the GM? He can't even choose when and where, which coach he want to blame to fire this time. Because who you going to fire this time? Because there's nobody to fire. But you want to give him the GM position? Come on, Mel. Do a better job. Take a nap. Come back. Call the phone and do a better job. Because obviously he's very tired. That's what that is. He's tired. His brain is deprived of sleep and he's tired. For him to even say that, I can't. Listen, guys, all I'm saying is this. I just need somebody to blame. I'm salty. I'm upset. I'm depressed. I just need somebody to blame. And the only thing I can think of is that we understand that. The only reason why I just keep you know I can't stand Bill Belichick. He's a cheat. But I'm just saying, who does he have on his offense right now that's a Pro Bowl player? Who does he have? Nobody, basically. Why are they still winning? To me, that's coaching. So that's why I'm trying to justify my reason of blaming Joe Judge. Because he doesn't really have anybody. We have people that, if they put in the right positions, if they just execute, if they just have better, you know, coaching plays, maybe they definitely could make the Pro Bowl. That's all I'm saying. And we can't do that. It's coming down to coaching. And you want to put this man in a GM position? No, keep the dinosaur Dave Gettleman before you let this man come in. Like, I just can't take callers like that. Like, are you a true fan? Because there's no way you would say something like that. This is an embarrassment. We're trash. I can't take it no more. I don't even know. I keep saying I'm not going to cut the TV on, guys. I keep saying that. I'm lying to myself. I have to. I have to watch it from the beginning to the end.
They got them Cowboys this week. Have you heard, though, Tessa? I don't know if you heard Joe Judge. The foundation has been poured.
Oh.
Listen, he sees the whole scope. I torture myself, guys. You know that. I watch the whole post-game interviews. It's about the whole scope that I see. And what we're putting together right now, the future looks... Shut up. You're lying. Shut up. Like, stop it. We're not stupid. Stop feeding us this hog trash. We're not stupid. And I feel like he talks to us like we're stupid, guys. And I don't appreciate that. And you want him to be the GM? They got to get in front of the camera all the time talking about decisions they made here, why they chose this pick. This man, I don't want to hear the stuff he's talking. I think he practices in the mirror every day with, like, a bow tie on and, like, I don't know, talking to his toothbrush. Like, stop it and knock it off. Be real with us. Nobody's saying throw your team under the bus. We don't want that. But you got to be real. If he can't be real as a head coach, why would you think he could be real as a GM? He can't even make the good decisions now. He's just learning how to call timeouts, guys. He's just learning that. Like, he's just learning that. What was that trick play, that flea flicker? What was that?
That's Freddie Kitchens.
What was that? Why aren't you developing plays that Mike Glennon can do? Quick 5-yard passes, quick 6-yard passes. Why aren't you developing that? What good week of practice did you have? He keeps saying we executed. That's freaking practice. and you're going against each other. Like, we don't care about what you're executing then. We don't care about that. I don't know. I just know Mel gave me even more of a headache. I didn't think I could have one more than yesterday, but Mel, thanks a lot, because now my head is I just want to bash it against the wall. I don't know. Okay, y'all lost two yesterday. How do you deal with that and get up in the next morning and just be positive? Like, I don't know. The only thing that's keeping me positive right now is my Lakers and the Eli Manning show. That's what's keeping me positive right now about sports.
Well, for us, at least for the Jets, we have a rookie quarterback. We have a first-year head coach. And before we blow a gasket, you know, we're going to just wait at least till next year. Next year, if Joe Judge can't figure this out, if this team isn't a 500 or better team.
But why is he going to get it next year? Please explain that to me. Oh, because we didn't fire coaches after two seasons for the past 6 years.
Yeah, y'all still paying
McAdoo. We don't care about that, Bart. It's no one giant way.
Tess, please don't bang your head against the wall. You know we love you. And I knew.
Are you going to watch this week? You got the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, you got to.
You know I'm going to watch it because I can't stand Dakota. Oh, snap. You know I'm going to watch it. Listen, Bart, when I hung up last time, you said that real slick stuff about LeBron before I hung up, remember?
Yeah, LeBrick.
No. Stop hating. Did you see his triple-double yesterday? Stop
played the
hating.
Magic.
I'm not
a LeBrick
you
fan.
A hater.
Played the
you
magic.
A hater. You a soft right. block licker. You are a hater.
Tess,
stop
that's
it.
Another I'm conversation, telling. Certainly for another time. But you know we love you. Thanks so much for your energy, as always. We appreciate you. Joe Judge yesterday, by the way, when he had a backup quarterback and Saquon Barkley probably wanted to get more out of him. The running game moved a little bit better today. We got Saquon going.
Yeah, 40 yards, right?
A little bit. All right.
Man, you
with that aside and that conversation, because again, this is what happens when we get to a point where fans, you know, reach that, all right, our team's out of it, so what do we need to do going forward? And you heard two different takes on what the Giants should do going forward, and they were both pretty passionate. But right now, we go to the Goodyear Hotline, and we get some insight from our ESPN NFL front office insider, Mike Tannenbaum, and also co-host of the Barton Hahn Show. Mike, how we doing?
I'm doing well. It's good to be back with the original as well.
See, it's we talked about this, Bart, on Friday. Mm-hmm. And we thought if Mike performed up to the levels that we thought he could in previous scouting that we have done on him, we thought he'd be a perfect fit to our system and how we wanted to play, especially when we needed to make a lineup change.
Yeah.
And he fit in perfectly, just as we saw. This was good scouting. It was good execution. And I think now he stays on the roster.
Oh, yeah, man. He's a chameleon, man. He can adapt to any situation. I mean, his sports and football acumen just goes so
deep. We talked NBA, Bart. We talked NBA.
I bet you he had a hell of a hook shot, man. Did you were you underhand like Brent Berry from the free throw line? Were you underhanded like Brent Berry?
Yeah, I had the Chuck Taylor Converse, laced them up. You know, I played high school football, leather helmets. So,
the PF Flyers. The Thugs were the PF Flyers. The people that couldn't afford the Chucks. You know, Chucks were for the people that had that smutty. We had them PF Flyers for the people that would lose a breakup. How did people – this is what I understand. This is how society – you know what they say is, like, ill. Hard men make easy times, or tough men make easy times, weak men, whatever, and how they get there, how society is so much easier. Like, you played in Chuck Taylor's. I bet you never had a sprained ankle. Never.
You just didn't know it.
Now these guys are so fragile. Mike T, like the injury reports, and you look at like guys not playing, you're like, what the hell are wrong with these guys? You have to learn how to play with pain, how to play with compensation. That's just what the game is all about. That's what it's always been about.
With that in mind, Mike, how big of a concern is Aaron Rodgers' toe injury that he keeps talking about it and, in fact, said it took a step back? It got worse after yesterday's win.
You know, in all seriousness, guys, it's so ironic that what Bart just brought up, because when we talk about guys like Kyle Murray, we'll get into Bryce Young at some point in the coming months and years, the great quarterback for Alabama who – just won the Heisman Trophy. You go back just yesterday, guys. You look at Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, three great quarterbacks all dealing with toe, foot, or ankle injuries, and it really makes the discussion a very significant one. 10 mobile quarterbacks, you know, stay healthy, and that's a concern. You look at Joe Burrow, you look at Tua Tagovailoa, you look at Kyle Murray. They've all missed games over the last 2 years, so injuries at quarterback will be the great equalizer this year.
Yeah, I mean, I, and you know, with that and COVID and things of that sort, it's just weird how like how so many things change, but how many things remain the same. After all this going around up in the world, is Lamar Jackson the best quarterback? Is, you know, Josh Allen the best quarterback, Kyler Murray? You come back to the two old farts, the dudes that's been around the longest, and Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. And I just say the reason why they're able to play like that is because they understand that you're never going to be 100%. But they understand how to win with their minds and their heads and make the game simple, where everybody else makes the game so hard because they rely so heavily on the athleticism. You know, you think about Josh Allen. If he had the football acumen, just half the football acumen of Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, what he can be able to do to manipulate the pocket and manipulate coverages by his eyes. He did it a couple times. You know, the new thing right now is this read option, RPO slash slant from the backside, being able to move the linebackers out the way and slide the safety out. But it just feels like they make it so hard, and it just looks like the game is so effortless for Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady.
I totally agree. And you go back to the difference in the game yesterday was Tom Brady's winning pass to Rashad Perriman, which he saw it was man-to-man, looked at Mike Evans, he was covered, had Perriman on the cross, and not only was it a completion, guys, but it was turning into the game-winning play because he let him on the upfield shoulders. It was a perfectly thrown ball, and Tremaine Edwards just couldn't keep up with Perriman. And that's where, as we know, Bart, like Tom Brady has that superpower of a great processor. And likewise with Aaron Rodgers, you know, his accuracy is incredible. We saw him get the ball over like a dropping defensive lineman yesterday for a touchdown, Taron Jones, and his pinpoint accuracy to Davante Adams. And I think those two guys are clearly on another level.
We're talking with Mike Tannenbaum on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike, tonight we still have one more game for this week, and that's Rams-Cardinals. And if, I guess the Cardinals look like you win this game, you pretty much lock up the division, right? Like you're in great shape. Bart doesn't see the Rams winning tonight. I know it's on the road, but for L.A., they've really got to get themselves on the right track after losing three of the last five games. What do you see in this matchup tonight, and what would a loss mean for the Rams?
You know, Alan, I agree with Bart because it's about toughness, and that's what Bart did so well. And right now, clearly, you know, the Cardinals are the tougher team. It starts up front. We don't talk about the Cardinal defense nearly enough, and I think that's one of the reasons they have a real chance to get to the Super Bowl. When Kyle Murray's healthy, look, they're elite on offense. We know that. But this defense with Buda Baker, Isaiah Simmons, and the great Chandler Jones, to me, that's why I like the Cardinals big tonight. They already went into L.A. and beat the Rams. I think they're going to do that at the end. All starts up.
That's a Monday Night Football preview brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Commercial insurance through Progressive protects your business and your dream. Choose from over 30 coverage options at progressivecommercial.com. Mike, what did we see from the Cowboys yesterday in your estimation? Is that the defense got healthy and that's who they're going to be? And do you have any concerns about Dak Prescott heading the wrong way when it comes to his trending lately?
I think Dak Prescott, if he plays B or better, they have a real chance to get to the Super Bowl, because going into yesterday, there was only 28 plays that DeMarcus Lawrence, Randy Gregory, and Micah Parsons were on the field together. They have three dominant players up front. They have an impact corner in Trayvon Diggs. And if those four players stay healthy, they could get to the Super Bowl just because those players are so good. But as long as Dak plays even moderately better, like I heard what RC said on Get Up this morning, I see it differently. Their defense could be so good that Dak doesn't have to be elite for the Cowboys to get to the Super Bowl.
Now, where would you put them if you had to power rank them? Because are you putting them above the Cardinals? Because more than likely, they're going to have to face one of these guys in the second round if they, you know, or probably in the first round, you know, the Cardinals, the Buccaneers, or the Packers. Like, how would you power rank them? Because it looks like those three teams look totally different from everybody else.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Bart. I would put Dallas right up there, 1-1A with Arizona. Obviously, Arizona wins tonight. It's hard to argue against them being the best team in the NFC. I put Dallas above Green Bay with, you know, one exception is if Za'Darius Smith and Jaire Alexander come back, I'd probably put Green Bay up there because those are two impactful players on defense. But I really think this Cowboy defense could be really special.
Question, how dangerous can the 49ers be if they get in the tournament? Mm-hmm.
So Deebo Samuel has a rushing touchdown in four consecutive games. He's probably one of the 10 best players on the planet that's not a quarterback. And that defense, as we saw yesterday, could still rush the passer effectively. So I think they're a team that could go 9-8 or whatever that is this year, or go into the NFC Championship game, because there will be a team, Bart, like no one's going to want to play them in the playoffs.
Mike, what happens in Jacksonville with Urban Meyer? I mean, he looked completely checked out after the game. He barely shook hands with Vrabel. I felt like there were more passion in the questions to him than his answers, until it became about sources and, yeah, you know, speculation and stories and whatnot. Then he got real angry about that, saying people are going to lose their jobs if you're going to be a source and give out this kind of information.
What is this, North Korea?
What's going on there? And again, you know how this stuff works in front offices. You know how, and he's got all the power, but you know how these work in organizations. Did Jacksonville just have to see that this was a mistake and move on, or are they too invested to give up this soon?
And I'll tell you what, they can't give up yet, but let me tell you, the worst answer he gave was a couple of weeks ago when he talked about James Robinson and his usage, and he's like, well, I'm not a micromanager. And Bart and I have been around great coaches, John Harbaugh, Rex Ryan, Bill Belichick. That's what the job is. Yes. You need extreme attention to detail, and you need to know everything about James Robinson, his strengths, his weaknesses, the opponent's strengths and weaknesses for that game, because it's going to change week to week. So if I'm Urban, I got to get in there. I got to crush the details, and everything follows from there. The fact that he sort of like subcontracts out the usage of his players, to me, is a very insightful comment about what's really going on down there.
And when you look at it, right, you talk about just, I know that this is his first year, and everybody have rough first years. But, you know, Jacksonville was a place where the union said, free agents, don't go there. Like, do not go there. And this was all about being able to change the image about how outsiders perceive the Jacksonville Jaguar job in place. He's made it worse.
How?
If I'm a free agent, unless I have no other choice, why would you want to go there, and why would you want to stay there?
You know, Bart, that's a really interesting point. On paper, it should be literally the most premium destination in the league. Great weather, low cost of living, no taxes. And you're right, right now it's not. And they need to change that narrative, because they should be able to get players there on a discount. But to your point, Bart, right now they can't get players there at all. So that, to me, is really job number one for Urban Meyer right now.
We got 26 teams either in the playoffs or within a game of a playoff spot. That's a definition of parity out of 32 teams. Is this good for the NFL, or do we still already know who the contenders are versus pretenders?
Yeah, I mean, Alan, unlike your NBA, every game counts. So, you know, there is no load management in the NFL, and I think that's great. Every game matters. Every game is hugely consequential coming down the stretch. So NBA, NHL, there's some games that are candidly more important than others, and in the NFL you don't have that. I think that's one of the things that makes our sport so compelling. It's 17 one-week dramas.
I feel like it's a personal shot at me.
Well,
that was a personal shot.
Yeah, you're
unlike your NBA, where you got all these softies that don't want to play every night.
I'm not talking about the broadcasters, because those guys are as tough as they come, Alan.
We got to show up every game. Yeah, and when they lose, we got to come up with something to say about it.
You know, one of the most intriguing teams is the Cleveland Browns, and they've, you know, leapfrog the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Ravens look very vulnerable, even though they did a great job in trying to fight back. If they get us back reinvested in thinking that they can make it to the postseason, only to fall short, what does that mean for this regime as far as from a personnel standpoint? Like, because to have the aspirations and to be considered the best team from a talent standpoint, I think you can put this roster against anybody. But for them to fall up short again, like, where do you go from there? Like, how do you build from there?
You know, Bart, there's a really good podcast out there called Organized Chaos. Hmm. And I sat in for you, and Rex and I talked about it. And in all seriousness, we talked about it. And to me, when you have a quarterback like Baker Mayfield, who's slow and short by NFL standards, he's constantly going to get hurt. We know he's tough. We know he's accurate. But at the end of the day, in my opinion, he's not good enough. And I think Cleveland's going to be a team that doesn't measure up to the expectations this year. And I think Cincinnati and a healthy Baltimore has gone past them.
Wow. Yeah, that's certainly a situation to watch there in Cleveland. They're still pretty much right there, but you're just wondering how that's going to end this season. Mike, great to catch up again, as always. Thanks so much.
Sorry. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
You got it. Mike Tannenbaum on the Goodyear Hotline. It's Barton Hama coming to you live from Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. So we got more to come, including this, Bart. So as we were just talking about, we heard from Giants fans and all the things they want to do there. Well, you hear now from the man that one fan said should get the GM job, and the other fan said he should go too. His explanation of where the Giants are right now in their rebuild, let's just say if you're building a house, there's a very important part of that build that you got to get right. He feels like they got it right. Did they? Wait to hear what he has to say coming up next. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Well, I'm the head coach. Everything in the program reflects on me, Jordan. I don't ever shy away from that. I don't make excuses. And I don't hide from that either. I'm not a finger pointer. I'm an excuse maker. Okay, in terms of the direction the program's going, but there's some key foundational pieces that are being put in place, and there's a lot of things we're making progress on pushing forward.
Somebody.
Man, by the way.
We got to hit another one for my grandma later, too. We got to go. We got to go Luther Dance with My Father. Dance with My Father.
No, see, I'll turn into a puddle. You play that song. Like, you understand.
That's my favorite song,
man.
It's
been 15 years since I lost my dad.
Yeah, man. That's still tough.
It's not one of those things you just go, oh, it's all, you know, like, ah, it's
it
been enough
time.
It hits
you when it hits you, no?
Certain things, certain moments, certain songs, it just reminds you. So that song, yeah, I'd have a hard time with that one.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Hey, it's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide, and you can get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, no contract. All in America's best network, Straight Talk Wireless, 5G-capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. You heard Joe Judge there in the rejoin.
Judge.
And we've gotten calls about this. Like, this has become a thing amongst Giants fans. And I really think you got to hear the man and what he had to say here to understand it. First of all, it's a program. We're very proud of the direction of our program, Bart Scott. Like, when you start using, like, program, it's interesting.
Program, because that's saying, oh, we're building.
But we've
something.
Reached that point now of Joe Judge's tenure as coach where it's – and Jordan Renan did a terrific job, I thought, in not – it's not as much grilling. It's just asking the questions that need to be asked right now. And those questions right now are pretty simple. It's what's going on with this team, what direction you're going in, and where do you assess where you are right now as a franchise? And he explained it, and you got to hear it. And Bart will do that in a segment we like to call
Audio Files.
So let's start there. Giants head coach Joe Judge, when talking about the direction of his program.
Well, I'm the head coach. Everything in the program reflects on me, Jordan. I don't ever shy away from that. I don't make excuses, and I don't hide from that either. I'm not a finger pointer. I'm an excuse maker. I'm never going to try and deflect anything. Okay, in terms of the direction the program's going, look, there's a lot of things I see week after week with our players and where we're going that I'm encouraged in a lot of ways. And sometimes that's tough to see externally. But there's some key foundational pieces that are being put in place, and there's a lot of things we're making progress on pushing forward. Internally, you can see a lot of pieces being put together and a lot of things within the direction, the culture, and the foundation of the program that I've been fortunate enough to know what it's supposed to look like, and I can see the direction it's going, and I can see the foundation being poured and solidified, and we're going to get in the right direction.
To be clear, the foundation poured, not was poor.
Yeah. See, but this is the thing, though, right? Like, when you have these Bill Belichick minions or guys that come from that tree, they always try and lean on, like, this is what happened in New England. Like, but when have we seen it replicated, right? The best version, the best assistant to come from there and try and implement the program was Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien, he got the Houston Texans routinely to the playoffs, but he never really made any noise, right? Never got him over the hump, and eventually got fired because they gave him too much power. He became drunk with it, and he ran the organization into the ground. And that's why it's in its current state right now, right? So now you look at you know, you look at Romeo Crennel, and now he's the next one. And she's trying to lean on the fact that it's been poor. The reality is, right? The reality is this team spent a lot of money, and their record is worse right now than it was last year.
No. It's safe to say, though, it's not just him. It's the entire franchise has had the worst record in the NFL in the last five seasons.
That's including the Lions.
Like, that's where, to me, it's just, when does it stop? But what he's saying is that he's been fortunate enough to be around places where you develop, you set up your culture, you set up your franchise. And he's saying, my experience in New England, he wasn't there when Belichick was starting what he had.
Right.
He wasn't there for that. So I don't know how he could say, I'm fortunate enough to see that. What he's fortunate enough to see is how, once it's established,
how well
the standards you need to put in place. The hard part, as we talked about this, poured the foundation, make sure there's rebar.
Yeah.
Make sure that's all tied up nice.
He poured it. There ain't no rebar.
Well, that's what you've got to see, is does it have that? Now, you know.
Do they like him? I don't even know if they like him.
Well,
I don't know if they're playing for
him. There's a lot of questions to ask about Joe Judge, and one of them is his acumen as a head coach in the NFL.
Yep.
That's what it is now. Are you making your players better? Because the players themselves made a lot of dumb mistakes throughout this season. A lot of this stuff falls on coaching. He says he sees progress. This is my problem. Tessa, the caller, kind of hinted this too. This is what I don't want when you go to a podium. When you stop answering questions for media and fans, and you start talking to your owner at the podium.
Yeah.
Don't talk to your owner at the podium. Don't start making the case for yourself. Don't start putting out there the messages of what you're seeing, because you want your owner to hear that. When I start hearing a coach talk like that, I feel like he's not talking anymore to me or the fans. You're now talking to your owner. And that's a lack of confidence. That's you trying to make a case for yourself. And that's not necessary. So we'll see what happens with Joe Judge. You've heard other people say it's too soon to move on from him. You've moved on for a lot of coaches. But they're going to have to figure something out, because that organization is once again heading in the wrong direction. Meanwhile, speaking of an organization heading in the wrong direction, you made reference to this before. Well, let's do it again. Jacksonville Jaguars are now 2-11. How did they win two, right? And one of them is against the Buffalo Bills. But they're 2-11 in Urban Meyer's first season as coach, and it has been a tumultuous year. From almost the moment he was hired, from who he hired on his staff, that was a red flag. The issues he had with his own coaching staff, with the Tim Tebow thing, which was, again, tone deaf, to how players are saying, players, like all this stuff coming out of it, to him going to the bar during the bye week. And again, just a mistake that his owner then had to put out a statement.
Yeah.
So now it's like they just signed. There's, I believe it's like $10 million. Like, whatever he's making a year is an absurd amount of money.
Yeah.
How could Shad Khan move on from him after 1 year?
Detrimental.
Well, I'll tell you what. You get to a point now. You talk about podium stuff. Let's just listen to Urban Meyer. And what he was fired up was not about the loss yesterday, and questions about his offensive line, with an impassioned question about his O-line, how bad it's been. And his response was basically Joe Burrow. Yeah. Like, he gave you nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Lawrence, by the way, is supposed to be a generational quarterback. Has he gotten better? So Urban Meyer, though, really got fired up, finally. Oh, and let's also mention he walked right by Mike Vrabel after the game. Didn't even, like, barely shook hands with him. He doesn't handle losing well. That's fine. He doesn't want to be a guy that's out there smiling after loss. I get all that. But what you do at the podium says a lot about you. You are the face of your franchise. And this is what fires you up.
What's the answer? Start leaking information or some nonsense? No, that's nonsense. That's garbage. That's, that's, once again, I've been very blessed. I've not really dealt with that. I've not dealt with, well, did you hear what he said? What? No, let's improve on offense and get our quarterback in a position to be successful. That's our focus. What someone's brother said, or someone said, that will occupy very little of my time. And if there is a source, that source is unemployed. I mean, within seconds, if there's some source that's doing it.
Thin-skinned is what comes from me there. That's one of those things that if you're asked about it, you just shut it down quickly. Like, I don't pay attention to that.
Yeah, conduct,
like, shut it down.
Conduct detrimental. like Shai Khan could get outside of like the cause of conduct detrimental, the fact of what he did and going back and, you know, whatever he did with his wife, whatever, he can go conduct detrimental, or he can go with the flag of hiring the certain people that he hired. He can try and weasel his way out of it. But sometimes you can't throw good money after bad money. And it looks like Urban Meyer is bad money. And you can't do that. He doesn't look like he has a clue. Now, we've seen this experiment before. We saw Nick Saban come in, not be able to adjust to how things operate. Like, the problem why he never had to deal with it, because it was a dictatorship. If anybody had a problem, whether it was player or coach, you can get rid of him. Now you're dealing with real men. And the fact that the reports that he's talking about, that maybe he was asking a guy saying he's a winner, he's not a loser, that you're a loser on this level. So you're not a winner. You've won. But so as Lawrence. Lawrence has won. So you have to ask yourself, is this the man you want representing your organization?
That's right now, the question.
That's the CEO. You want this man to be the face of your brand.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, if I'm Shai Khan, I'm saying I made a bad mistake. How can I get out of this? How can I tell this guy, hey, listen, we can.
You got to talk buyout?
Yeah, buyout, conduct, detrimental. Because this team, if Marvin Jones walked out and left, that's a real thing, right? You know, that's one of your better players. That's one of your leaders. He's always been a professional. For him to leave out and the whole thing with Robinson, I don't know if he, you know, I don't handle that. Then what do you handle? You're the head coach. You don't do offensive defense. You don't know playing time. One of your better players. And still, double down. Still didn't get a lot of carries last week. Yesterday. So it's like one of those things. Like, listen, we knew that this was the case. And the fact that he looks so, like, body language matters. Like, even if you don't have nothing to feel proud about, you still stand tall and proud and prideful, say, hey, listen, we're going to figure it out. But
I just don't understand why we have
to
put up a front all the time. We're getting late in this thing, but this is what drives me crazy. Your podium game is critical. I've said this about Matt Nagy. I've said this about a lot of people. When you go to the podium, what you do there matters.
Yeah.
You can't worry about the people sitting in the chairs asking you questions, being annoyed that they have to ask you questions and challenge
you. Like they're beneath
you. But even the fact that you're being challenged, you got to understand. Your players are challenged during the game, and you're now challenged here. And what you have to do is just have that podium and control it and understand that you are 2-11. What do you think they're going to ask you? What do you think's going to happen? You have to represent your franchise in a way. And I don't want it. Nobody wants sunshine and rainbows. What they want is honesty. There are people that spend money to watch your team play, invest in you emotionally and financially. And it's up to you to let them in on where we're at right now. And every now and then, you got to give them a little show. You got to let them know. Like, you got to show them that you're annoyed, that you're angry, that you're frustrated, whatever it is. You have to handle that. That is an important skill to being a head coach in any sport. And there are some guys that don't get it. They don't get it. They make it so personal. They get so thin-skinned, and it tells you all you need to know about them and their ability to be a great coach. That's all I need to see. That right there.
Not a great leader either.
Well, what you are in front of the media is pretty much, I'm sure, what the players see too.
Yeah, they see it right through them.
And if that's how you, because I know how I feel, man, sports is about being inspired. Not that.
I do, man.
They got to figure it out there. All right, that's Audio Files brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Coming up, more of the wild finishes, surprising outcomes, week 13 provided. Monday night's game matchup as well. Your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 off Urban Meyer, Joe Judge. Coaching in general, what we had to say. But first, I want to tell you, wait, I got one more for you, don't I?
No, Man in Arena, right?
Yeah, I do, but I thought I also had this one. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial, auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. And yes, we want you to join host Gotham Chopra as we explore what Tom Brady has meant to football and the world in Man in the Arena. A new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports, a companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries. This 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Brady's career, things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hatred, perfection, even fate. This podcast brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and stream the docuseries on ESPN+. We got your calls coming up. Bart Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Welcome back, Bart and Hahn. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN+, ESPN Radio. So, Bart, as we see the NBA season now, move closer to
getting to the thick of it.
Yeah, I mean, it starts to get real, right? Because you have
March is the real spot, but when you get to January, it's like okay, we're past like
really
the second quarter, right? We're past the second quarter, the first quarter. We're in the first quarter.
Oh, well past the first quarter, almost the third
so
now.
We're starting to see what the teams are going to be.
Yeah. So in the meantime, we're looking at a trade season beginning on Wednesday. Perhaps we'll have some movement with Ben Simmons. Eventually, perhaps we'll have some movement with some other players as well. Like, is Kyrie ever going to play for the Nets?
I heard a vegan shot or something like that. I saw like some type of organic shots. Maybe consider. I don't know what the hell is an original shot. So organic shot for Kyrie for a vaccination.
All right. Well, that's completely. Just saying, all these different players, you know, John Wall isn't playing. You know, there's a lot of players who just aren't playing. They're being paid not to play.
Yeah.
And then there's Zion Williamson, a guy who's like the league thinks, or so around the league, you thought this guy's going to be the future face of the league.
Just because how electric he is, not because we don't think the other players are not.
No, it's just who he is, and he's just a guy that has so much. Well, he's not playing either, and he's been rehabbing a foot injury that we feel like, all right, well, when is he going to play? And that question just keeps being pushed another week, another week. So Jake Madison, who's a Pelicans beat writer, he went to Twitter, and he's saying that not only is Zion Williamson – now Woj reported that Zion's progress is not gone as well as they thought it would with the foot, and they have dialed back his rehab.
Yeah.
And so we don't know when he's coming back. But then Madison then goes to Twitter, and he talked about Zion Williamson's work ethic as an issue for the Pelicans. And in a tweet, he said he has skipped workouts in his rehab. Also said that he fell asleep during a recent team film session. And so it really makes you wonder what's going on there now. Has he lost his motivation to play for the Pelicans?
Yeah.
Or does he have another issue altogether, which is he lost his motivation to just play basketball? What's going on with Zion Williamson in New Orleans is a quietly huge story for the NBA and, of course, their future of the next generation stars.
Yeah, and how many more years do they have him on a contract if they don't get anything?
Well, he's in his rookie deal. So
right, but I'm saying it, so it's not
one
this
more.
Year.
Right, he's in his third year, so it's one year. More plus the fifth year, and then you have to come up with an extension off that before the end of the fifth year.
Do the Pelicans believe that if they offered him one right now that he would ever sign it? And would you want to invest in him long term if he's shown you and distributed what he's capable of? Because that can handicap your franchise. If he's a guy that's lazy, not a hard worker.
Or does he not want to play there? Which
that's
the stories were, he wasn't happy there. The family wanted him out of there. And there's no way New Orleans wants to trade him.
Yeah.
But is he trying to motivate a trade almost like what James Harden did in Houston where he just let himself go?
Yeah, but this is different.
Bad look for the kid,
this is different, though, because for his foot – yeah, I mean, that's tough, right? Because his foot can never heal underneath that much weight and that pressure with how he runs and how much weight he puts on that, you know, his knees and that. It'll never heal. It'll always be tweaked. That's why the bone is healing. He needs to lose weight and put less pressure on it. But if he's not motivated, it's like the law of diminishing returns. We may not see Zion this year. If you don't see him this year for a –
that's bad. Yeah, some reports also he's over 300 pounds again. Major problems in New Orleans with a superstar that the NBA needs to be back on the court. We'll be back in 10 seconds.
We'll be talking about the Chiefs, but the Chiefs are hitting on all cylinders. The defense is playing good.
This is the team to watch in the AFC. I think they will even jump over the Patriots.
They've always been the best team in the AFC to me.
Bing, 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 Rob bing, Thomas, bing, little Santana, bing, this date in 1999, number one song. Smooth.
In 1998?
1999.
Ah, Maria Maria was my joint, though.
That's a good song, too.
Maria Maria.
Yeah, man. We should have played that one, but that wasn't the one.
Side story.
Growing up in Spanish Harlem. I thought you knew that part.
I do.
Kind of left me on my own.
Gonna go a little Santana.
Like, when is it, like you ever have that awkward moment where you and someone else are singing a song, like you both pick it up, and one stops, and the other one keeps going, you're like, oh, we were done?
Yep.
I had that moment right
now.
It's
like good times. Like, what? Like, hold on, bro.
We still don't know what that
shucking
is.
Shucking and a jiving.
Right?
No, that's the part. We don't know if it's shucking and a jiving or chilling in a child line.
I thought we figured this out.
The person who wrote it were lying because other people say he's lying.
This will go on forever.
He can write it how he want to write it, but the person that sung the song for good times is the only person that really knows. Unless we dig them person up. hot tub time machine. We don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Really,
we got to go back in time like Bill and Ted Adventures. Oh, that would be dope if me and you starting that Bill and Ted.
We did it. If
party
we did a,
time, excellent.
You know what? Wait, but you just did. That's Wayne's World.
Oh,
that
yeah.
It wasn't Bill and Ted.
Yeah, my bad.
But it's still funny that you did that, though, because I like that you mashed up two different movies.
Well, you know.
That's pretty much the same thing. We should do it like a hot tub time machine TikTok. It'd be hilarious.
That'd be dope.
We just jump into a hot tub, and then we come out, and we're in another time, but we're dressed of that era.
Yeah.
We don't even have to do anything. We just show up.
Just walk around.
What do we do next?
See guys b-boying and stuff like that. We go try and tag something. We all got to run from the police.
I have all these great TikTok ideas, and we're never going to do them.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're good ideas. You know what was a bad idea? When you're at Arrowhead, and you're there, it is.
Oh, my.
And you decide to gather on the logo before the game. Kind of what? Like,
why?
Can you as an NFL player, can you just tell people as an NFL player, when you're on the logo of your opponent in their stadium, how disrespectful that is? And oh, by the way, 12 seconds into the game,
you give up a touchdown. Way to go, Yannick. Yannick was feeling himself because he's having a great year. The problem is he only plays one position. Your other teammates got to handle that smoke. And why would you poke the bear?
Yeah.
Why would you wake up the bear? And I mean, it's like, come on, son. And listen, they got what they got. They almost got a 50 burger on them. And then the Chiefs kept the receipts and started adding them. I would have been tagging
Mitchell
them all
Schwartz,
kinds of
the offensive lineman, tweeted the pregame shenanigans by the Raiders will go down as one of the dumbest moments in this rivalry. Stomp on your opponent's logo at midfield while they're in the locker room, then come out and get smacked from literally the first play and a total beatdown all game. 48-9 final. Absolute domination. What an embarrassing moment that was for them. There's no doubt about that, but they've got bigger problems they've got to deal with. Coming up, is it time for the Giants to blow it all up and hit the reset button? I feel like we've been talking about this a lot. But after the call we got today, we need to talk about it again. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.